Even in the Garden of Eden, there were certain temptations. I highly doubt, and I think the fathers of the church even attest to the fact that most likely there was kind of little slight temptations even before the devil showed up and before the serpent showed up. Because it'd be highly doubtful that the serpent just showed up one day and said, hey, it'd be a great idea if you actually did this. And they're like, yeah, that does sound like a great idea. Let's do that. Most likely there was kind of a slow kind of whittling away of their conscience. And then the serpent showed up to deliver the final punch. And that's whenever they decided to fall away from our Lord. That's whenever they decided to ignore his commands and do what they wanted to do. And obviously our lives are just like that in the same way. We all experience these temptations constantly throughout our lives. And just over time, it just kind of whittles away at our conscience, whittles away down at our will. And sooner or later we fall, which is why we have at times this time of Lent, this time of purification. This time to fight even a little bit more hard against the temptations in our lives and against the sins and vices that have made their way in. But sometimes at the beginning of Lent, we say to ourselves, oh man, this is going to be such a wonderful Lent. It's going to be great. I'm going to be way different after. Things are going to change. My life is going to be changed. I'm going to be known as Saint so-and-so after this Lent is over. Because we think this Lent's just going to be so amazing. And we want it to be amazing. We hope it is a good Lent. We hope we do leave behind part of the old man so that we can step into the new man that Jesus Christ wants us to be. But to do that, there are obviously certain things that need to be done. Jesus says to the tempter, to the devil, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so if we're truly going to be that new man this Lent, then we need to always strive to do God's will by listening to his word, by reading scripture, by making sure that we have his thoughts, his ideas, his will, and his wisdom always before our eyes, and always be on the lookout for how our Lord is speaking to us throughout the day. Because sometimes we hear God's words through our friend. Sometimes we hear it through our family members. And sometimes when we're really blessed, you hear it through your own children. And God's wisdom comes through that small little voice of your children. And so we need to be looking for that little voice in our head, for God's voice in our lives. Because Adam and Eve, whenever they decided to stop listening to our Lord's voice, then they died. They betrayed our Lord, and then sin and death entered into the world. Because sometimes the serpent is able to get us kind of on the precipice, on the edge, and just push us right over, like he pushed Eve and Adam over the edge. And if I take a guess, the devil convinced Adam and Eve, basically, it's not that bad. He said, actually, what's going to happen is death isn't going to enter the world, but your eyes will be opened. You will be like gods. Good things are going to happen if you do this thing right here. And they were convinced of that. They're like, oh, it isn't going to be that bad. And we do this all the time ourselves. We say, oh, my coworkers experience this kind of pride, this kind of vanity in their lives. And we see this kind of vanity everywhere. Well, if everyone else is doing, then it can't be that bad, right? Or maybe we look around at our peers and say, well, it doesn't really appear like everyone else is praying around me. I don't really see them praying that often. Well, if I don't pray that often either, then, well, then it must not be that bad because no one else is doing it. Or maybe different forms of lust have crept into our lives. And we see how we live in such a sex-filled world and lust-filled world. And we just look at ourselves and say, well, everyone seems to be doing that too. So clearly it can't be that bad. The devil convinces us over and over and over that it's really just not that bad. But then we get to this time of Lent and we see how bad those things actually are. Because we know it's doing more than meets the eye. And so we say, these things actually do need to be rooted out. These things need to go. And because they really are that bad. It may not seem to it at first, but it really is that bad. And so we strive to the best of our ability to give some of these things up. For some of the people in here, if I take a guess, they probably gave up YouTube or maybe social media. And part of the reason you gave that up is because, you know, it does lead you away from our Lord. In a sense, YouTube isn't always that bad, right? I look at Catholic Answers on YouTube. I look at Dr. Brant Petrie describing different things about the faith and about scripture on YouTube. I listen to Father Mike Schmidt sometimes on YouTube. And so YouTube does have a propensity and can lead us closer to Christ. It can do a lot of good in this world. But at the same time, the reason people give it up is because we know we're wasting a lot of time. We know we're wasting a lot of our time that should be given to God on YouTube, where we've gone from 30-minute videos to 15-minute videos to 5-minute videos. Now we have 1-minute reels. And so these 1-minute reels are just whittling away and killing our attention span, and we're not able to actually focus on anything. We filled our lives with so much noise, with the social media, with YouTube, and that we're constantly hearing things. We're constantly bombarded with all this noise and all this sound that we can't actually focus on the voice of God, on that still, quiet voice that calls us. And so we can't hear the voice of God in our lives. And then we obviously experience that instant gratification that we're constantly looking for. One reel to the next, to the next, to the next. And you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling for hours on end before you finally end up stopping, because maybe you actually finally get bored. And so whenever you do go to prayer and you've had to have this experience in your life and you're not experiencing that instant gratification, you're not experiencing kind of all that noise and sound and all that excitement, you're not getting this instant gratification that you would almost expect Almighty God to be able to give you. You expect Him to give Him the same feelings, the same desires, that same instant gratification. And so whenever you do go to prayer, there's almost this resentment of like, why can't Almighty God do something as simple as what YouTube can do? Why can't it just give me that instant gratification? Why can't it just give me this good feeling about myself or this slight entertainment in our lives? But YouTube's not that bad, right? And so sometimes we convince ourselves that some things aren't that bad. But during this Lenten time, we really come to realize, well, actually, some of these things are that bad. They're really not good for us. And so we just say we can watch one more YouTube video, one more TikTok video, and for the 75th time that day, the 100th time that day, and we just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, giving more time to our phone than we do to God. And so we need to really strive during this Lent to see how bad some of these things are and to put them into perspective. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, "None who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." During this time of Lent, we should really be striving to the best of our ability to these things that we've given up, especially the things that take our time, our attention, our efforts away from our Lord and steal that part of our heart that should belong to our Lord. We shouldn't be going, okay, I'm going to do this for 40 days and then I'm going to go right back to it. We don't put our hands to the plow and say, I'm going to start going this way and say, well, after 40 days, we're done. Right back to the old man. If you want to be that new man, if you actually want this Lent to be good, if you actually want to experience that change in your lives, then we need to be willing to keep our hands on the plow. You can't go back to where you were. So there are going to be some things that maybe you drop completely. Because when we take these things to the worst case scenario, well, YouTube kind of has a worst case scenario and it doesn't look pretty. And so if we put that in our imagination, but then we've put in our imagination the opposite of what if we maybe not completely got rid of that thing, but greatly limited that thing in our lives. What does our life look like then? What does our prayer life look like then? What does our family life? If I go from 3 hours of phone time every day to just 1 hour a day, what is my life going to drastically change? And how is it going to change for the better? And so we really need to strive to keep our hands on the plow, to keep going forward, to strive to the best of our ability, to give those things up, to work for that best case scenario. Because if we really want this to be a transformational Lent, then something might need to be cut off. Something might need to be let go. And maybe we never take those things back up ever again.